You know what they say about some. No, that was my fault right there. But anyway, nonetheless, as I said, I was glad to be here with y'all. And camp was good this week. I sure enjoyed that. It's different. I go to a lot of different youth camps. I've been involved in a lot. When I was pastoring, put on youth camp myself. And everything's different. I always tried to learn from them some things there. And I try to learn some different things, why they can do it, what make it better and whatnot. And I believe in youth camp. Amen. You get young people fired up the right direction. I tell you what, it'll help the church out. A lot of times, young people, you just got to fire them up and point them in the right direction. Adults are different. Adults, you got to deprogram them first. Amen? And then after you've deprogrammed, then you got to fire them back up. And then you got to push them. Amen? Then you almost got to beg and plead with them, man. Young people ain't that way. You just point the direction and say, hey, we're going to go do this. And they get excited. Amen? So it's good. Amen? I'm glad for that. So it's good to be with them all this week and watching them and be involved in things and whatnot. So got your Bible now. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 4 and chapter number 9. 2 Samuel chapter 4, chapter 9. And the idea for this message I got from another preacher while listening to preach. And I picked up the text on it and I said, hey, amen, I'm going to take this right here and I'm try to use it. Amen. Put some meat on it and preach it. Amen. Like my dad says, he said, I may have stole the cow, but I milked it myself. Amen. Yeah, so that's the way this idea and the message is. Amen. I might have took the idea from somebody else, but I put my own meat on it. And I'm trying to preach it tonight. Amen. And I want to really, in all seriousness, I want to help the relationship between parents and their children. And then children and their parents. That's what I want to do tonight with God's help. I thank God for a good mom and dad. Amen. God gave me a good mom and dad out home. They're doing well, as far as I know. Amen. They've been plugging along out there doing the work of God since 1983 out in the reservation. They've been planting churches here and there. And I thank God for what God put in my life, my dad and my mom. Amen. Amen. And as far as I'm concerned, my dad is the best man I know. Amen. You say, what's a good example of a man? I'll tell you what my dad is. And my former pastor, Brother Charlie Andrews, these two men, as far as I'm concerned, they are the best examples of what a godly man should be. And I'll tell you what, they work hard. They are good leaders. Make the hard decisions. They, man, raise their children, get them to church, they preach. I tell you what, they're just a great example of what a man should be. And that's what you always need to get around. You need to get around some good, godly men. I appreciate the women and children church, but any good church will be built upon men. And there are going to be men there that will stand up and help the work of God go forward. Amen. And I appreciate that for my dad here. My mom, too. My mom has been a blessing in my life. And I thank God for them, you know. And I thank God that what the influence and the prayers and the help that they gave me through my lifetime. Amen. And I'm thankful for still the help they give me. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 4, the Bible says there, we'll read one verse there, then go to chapter 9. Chapter 4 says, verse 4 says, then Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. Did everybody see that? He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. So you see there about the man here, this man, Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son, his name was Mephibosheth. Yeah. And the Bible says about him twice in this passage that he was lame on his feet. Yeah. Amen. Everyone sees that there. And the idea was that the nurse feared for the young boy's life. Why? Because once in those days, man, when a king got killed, died, the rest of his family was going to be wiped out. Why? Because all his family were heirs to the throne. So she took him and started to run with him. And as a five-year-old boy, the nurse there, she tripped and fell. And the Bible says that, man, his legs, something happened to his legs. Ended up lame on his feet. Chapter number 9 here, great story, man. I don't know if you ever heard the ad-lib commentary, man, by Dr. Ruckman. This is one of my favorite stories he tells there. Talking about, man, how that, you know, Mephibosheth meets David for the first time. And some things there. Let's look at some verses there. The Bible says there, this is verse 1. David says, is there any yet left that is left of the house of Saul that I'm going to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was one in the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. king said, is there any not yet of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And you read about him furthermore, how David treats him and he shows him grace and all that good stuff there. But let's pick up the verse down there, verse 12 now. And Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. And I want to use these passages here to bring you a message tonight. And the title kind of has a double meaning to it. And I hope you get a blessing out of it. So let's go over in prayer before we do that. And Lord, I believe this is what you've laid in my heart today. And Lord, I want to be able to preach it tonight to be a help to the parents as well as to their children tonight, Lord. And even any adults here tonight, Father, Lord, this message will benefit everybody. They just listen, Lord God. And may the Word of God have a free course. May your Spirit have liberty. May you fill me with your power, dear God. And may I be able to preach in a way to bring you honor and glory to help this church, Father. Thank you for the pastor's invitation. Bless his marriage, his ministry, and the family that he has in this church, Lord. And I pray that this church continue to go on, Lord God. And these young people that have been at camp, Lord God, I pray their hearts be stirred, Lord God, and continue to go on for you. I'd like to see this church, Lord God, continue to grow, Lord God. It's good to see all the things that have been done to this place since it first came, Lord God. And I pray you continue to bless it. Have your hand upon this place. We sure do love you. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. The Bible says about Mephibosheth that he was lame on his feet. But then also the passage there, we preach a lot about Mephibosheth and who Mephibosheth was. And we put a lot of emphasis on him and his relationship to David and how good he was and all that good stuff. But, you know, one thing that was called to my attention there, verse number 12, that Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. You don't ever hear much preaching about Micah. You don't ever hear anything about Micah, really. And you just look at him and say, oh, okay, kind of read that and really pass over. And I mean, the story of David and Mephibosheth and Jonathan and all that, man, you say, man, what a great story of a sinner and the grace of God and, man, Jesus and tithe. It just consumes you. Then you come down and you just kind of read, oh, yeah, he had a son named Micah, and then you read on down there. And my mind got to thinking there, and I got a title for the message. And I want to help, like I said, the relationship of parents and their children, as well as children of your parents. And if you listen, all of you can get something out of it. The Bible says that Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. Amen? And he had a son named Micah. So the title of the message tonight, like I said, double meaning here. How to love your lame parents. Amen? How to love your lame parents. Now, you ever heard anybody say that? Wow, my parents are so lame. And maybe some of you growing up, maybe you said that at one time. Wow, my parents kind of lame. Yeah. The idea was that, you know, they weren't as cool or as fun as you think they are. Amen? And Micah could literally say, my dad was lame. Yeah. Amen? He said, who's your dad? Oh, my dad's lame. He's pretty lame. Literally could say that. Amen? I know we mean it figuratively, but here he could say that literally. But I want to preach on that thought tonight about how to love your lame parents. Because I believe it's important that everyone here, you young people especially, it's important that you have a good relationship with your dad and mom. Amen. You say, why is that important? Because of this thought right here. If you mistreat those that you can see, how are you going to treat God who you can't see? I believe the first relationship that anybody has coming into this world is a relationship that child has with their mom and their dad. That's the first relationship you will ever have in your life. Before you ever have a friendship, before you ever have courtship, before you have any of those other things, or fellowship with God, you will have a relationship between your mom and your dad. Now, not everybody here has had the best of it. But still, some of you could say, well, my parents separated, my parents divorced, I was given up for adoption, or this happened, that happened, and there's people out there in the reservation. Brother Chavez here, he talks to a brother out there, Brother Gary. Brother Gary wouldn't mind me telling this. Brother Gary, his own parents, his own mama took him to the dump, left him at the dump. His uncle saw that, followed her, man, and picked up his son and raised him his own. Some of you could say, oh, my situation is bad. I understand that. Your parents and your eyes might be lame tonight. But I want to preach you that thought about this, how to love them anyway.
Yeah.
Amen. Because like I said, I believe that relationship is very important. Because it from there you start to learn how to have relationship with other people.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have a bad relationship with your parents, it affects the rest of your friend relationships. It affects your relationship with friends. It affects, if you don't know how to treat your mama, it affects how you boys treat girls.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. If you don't know how to respect your daddy, you know what it does? It shows that it builds in your relationship toward authority.
Yeah.
Amen. So how your relationship was with your parents growing up will affect your relationships with other people around you. And you young people need to work on that. You say, oh, mine's like this and that. And that's why the message is how to love your lame parents. There are just some things you need to learn to get right. Some of you tonight, you're old, you're in 20s and 30s and 40s. Man, up later in age, you're married now, you got children. And you know what? You still got relationship problems. You know why? Because that one with mom and dad was never really gotten right, never fixed. I want to help you with that tonight. Hey, Ben. And this ain't psychology, this is Bible tonight, amen? Because like I said, before there was ever a church, there was a home. Amen. God brought a man and wife together, yes, but then also, you know what else they had? They had a relationship to God as their father. And then they had Cain and Abel who had a relationship, man, with their parents. And all through that Bible, you find that relationship. Children, parents, parents and children. Some people downplay that, think it's no big deal. It is something that big. Amen. That's something important here. Like I said there, because from there you learn some things. You learn, first of all, obedience. It teaches you obedience. Bible talks about how that Jesus Himself, He learned obedience. How? Through a parental relationship. He learned it through Mary as His mother and Joseph as His earthly father. I mean, He learned to obey. If Jesus learned to obey, you need to learn to obey. Not only that, that relationship there teaches you obedience. It teaches you submission. It teaches you how to bring yourself under authority. And I said this morning, you will never outgrow it. Men and women. A lot of times we harp on the women and say, why submit yourself to your husband? But what you got to remember also there, that men, you got to learn how to put yourself under authority.
Right.
The authority of the laws of the land, the authority of your pastor, amen. The authority, man, of those that are in rule of the land. Amen. You got to learn to do that.
Right.
There's also a mutual submission there between a husband and wife.
Right.
Yes, that wife submits to you, but also you men, there's some things you got to submit to your wife as well.
Right.
Amen. That Bible says, submitting yourself one to another. You learn that where? With parental relationship. Obedience, submission. You also learn faith. You learn fear and respect from mom and dad. How's that, preacher? Well, let me give you this here. Before I feared and trusted God, I trusted my dad. I feared my dad. Amen. I mean, I feared my dad because I knew my dad wore me out. Amen. I know my dad whooped me, lay into me. Amen. I knew that my dad, man, he would discipline me. Amen. I knew that. Amen. You got to have that kind of relationship there. Amen. Let me say this here. The Bible tells you as children here to obey your parents.
Amen.
Obey your parents. The Bible also says to honor them. That's a little different than obedience. To honor them, that's where, man, you have respect for them.
That's right.
I mean, like I said, we live in generation. The Bible says they does not bless their mother, amen, but they curse their father. I mean, they have attitude toward them. I mean, you can see it around there. I mean, the way children talk to their parents, like, what is that? There's no honor there. Not only that, but then the Bible says to requite them. You know what requite them is? You do your best to give them back to them.
Amen.
Amen. Do for them some of the things they've done for you.
Yeah.
Amen. What's a hindrance to a good parental relationship? My child and good parent relationship, one of the first things to hinder is rebellion. When a child gets full of rebellion, you know what that does? That hinders his relationship. That rebellion is, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do my way. I'm going my own way, I'm going to do what I want. We used to know that as for boys, but now in the girls, it's the same nowadays. Man, they get full of rebellion in their heart. It's like that little boy jumping around the back seat of the car. He's jumping around the back seat. The dad says, sit down. Finally, he turns around and says, sit down before I whoop you. Then that boy sits down and he looks at his dad. He says this. He said, I may be sitting here, but in my heart, I'm still jumping around on the seat.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. That's the way a lot of young people are today. They're rebelling in their heart.
Yeah, amen.
I know that, but then another thing that will hinder a relationship is selfishness.
Yes, sir.
Being selfish. thinking about you and yourself only. Amen. Another thing to hinder your relationship is trying to be cool. Now, I was infected with that. Amen. I was. Amen. When I was growing up, my dad, every now and then, he wanted to hug me. And now I was too cool to hug my dad. Amen. Dad would say, come here, give me a hug, son. And I'm like, you know. Why? Because you know what? Man, I was too cool for that. My dad said, we're going to go out this Friday night. We're going to a football game. We're going to go this as a family. I was too cool to hang around my family. I wanted to go sit with my buddies. Amen. You don't want to hinder your parental relationship with your parent. You're trying to be too cool.
Yeah. That's good.
And let me help you out here. You ain't cool. You're a nerd.
Yeah.
Some of you are. Amen. I watched some of you at camp and I thought, man, does he even know what he's doing? He's trying to be cool, but he just looks goofy. I'm sorry, boys. That bandanas, you just look goofy. No, I ain't sorry. You do look goofy. You put that thing on, I'm thinking, where's the kung fu class? Come on, man. I mean, really?
Yeah.
I mean, you ain't Hispanic. Don't put that bandana on. I thought that looked cool, and I'm thinking, amen. Y'all know I'm talking about it. Nod your head, amen. And some of them girls, they think they're real cool too, walking in there, and I'm thinking, wow. Amen. Another thing to hinder your relationship, always be cool, is peer pressure. You're more interested in your peers than you are your parents. Amen. Your relatives, that's another hindrance. Aunts and uncles that let you do whatever you want when it comes to, instead of what your mom and dad say. I had a couple of aunts. And my aunts, and let me help you out, you ladies. You aunts that are aunties to whoever, you got nephews. They may respect you, but you know what? Very few will ever be afraid of you. You know why a lot of them go to the why I did? Why I went to a lot of my aunt's house? Because I knew at my aunt's house there's things I could do that I couldn't do at the house. Amen. You mom and dad need to realize that. Some of you, you know why your children like to hang around your aunt, their aunt and their uncles? Because they get to do things there they can't do at the house. So why are you saying that? I'm talking from experience. I'm giving away all the seekers tonight. Amen. I grew up in this thing. That's why I'm telling you that my aunts, I mean, she'd get after me and she'd tell me, she'd call my nickname and say that to me, stop it. And I just kind of laugh and then just keep on going. Because she was my aunt.
Yeah, right.
There's a difference there. Amen. You need to have a good relationship with your parents. See, these things here, and if you're not careful, you know what happens? So you end up getting full of bitterness.
Yeah.
You end up getting full of anger and hatred. Young people today, man, there's a few of them. I've been watching them this week. There's a couple of them. And my wife and I, we look at just, they're expressionless, but also, no expression, some of them, they're just full of something.
Yeah, you're right.
It's either anger, hatred,
yeah,
bitterness, or mad at somebody or something.
Yeah, amen.
And I'm like, man, wonder what are you mad at?
Yeah, right.
You can't be that bad.
Yeah, amen.
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 Let's look at Micah here for a little bit. Micah had to understand some things about his daddy. There was just some things he had to understand about him. In order for him to have a good relationship with his daddy, he had to have some things understood. First of all, let me say this here. He had to understand that his dad did not have good examples to follow. Amen. So who was his dad? I mean, you see, Jonathan. Jonathan died when he was young, so there was no fatherly figure in the picture for Mephibosheth. Not only that, but then Saul. Saul talks about him. He was not a good example to follow. He was a grandfather. So you say, Mephibosheth, oh man, you know, Mephibosheth, he should have been done. Yeah, you can say all you want, but he didn't really have no good example to follow. Some of you here tonight, you young ladies, young men, you need to understand about your parents. They may not have had good examples to follow.
That's right.
They may have came from a broken home too. They may have come from a home that wasn't ideal. They may not know anybody. The first time they get mad, they're just learning how to be a dad and a mom here at the church. They come into church service, they're listening to preaching, they're learning the Bible, they're learning God's way of being a mom, being a dad here. They're learning here. They didn't have no good examples in the world. The world really, face it, doesn't give any more good examples of what a dad and mom should be.
Right.
I mean, you go to turn to television, Hollywood, man, I tell you, it's a mess there.
Right.
Man, they're destroying masculinity on television.
Yeah.
And man, those characters on television that are male, that's all they are, is male. Because
right.
A lot of them are neutered, and man, they're weak, and they're wimping. You look at them like, good night. How in the world did nerds get in charge of this world?
Yeah.
Hey, man, you look at them like, how in the world did they make Steve Jobs and man Bill Gates, these guys, the big shots in the world?
Yeah.
Hey, man, they were nerds when we grew up.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
That ain't my hero.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, these people in this world now, there's no more good examples to follow. Mephibosheth, in order for him Micah, in order for him to have a good relationship, he had to understand his daddy didn't have no good examples to follow. Your mom and dad maybe didn't have any.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe their mom and dad weren't there for them. They're trying their best. If they're here with you tonight, praise God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You say, well, preacher, mine is struggling. They're kind of in and out of church. But hey, they probably don't have no good examples.
Amen.
But you, here, you're in church.
Amen.
There are some things he had to understand. Here's something else he had to understand. He had to understand this here. He had some burdens to carry that his son wasn't aware of.
That's right.
Like what? A fear. Do you know that Mephibosheth had to live in fear at all times? There's a reason why he lived in Lodabar. He was trying to avoid being seen and noticed. Because like I said beforehand, when a new king took over in power, they took the previous king's family and wiped them out.
Right.
Say, why? We don't want no competition for the throne.
Yeah.
Every day that Mephibosheth lived, he was an heir to Saul's throne.
Right.
Even they knew that. That's why they kept him that way. They left him that way in a bad place. And they were surprised when David looking for him. And Mephibosheth knew that. Man, if David ever finds me, he knows I'm an heir to this throne here. He lived with a fear. He lived with a burden every day. You know what his son needed to understand? Micah needed to understand that his dad had some fears and burdens to carry that he would never know anything about.
Amen.
You young people, do you realize this tonight? Your mom and dad probably got some burdens, some fears to carry that you know nothing about.
Amen.
And a good mom and dad will make sure you don't know.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Good mom and daddy will make sure that there's some things that they're carrying that you will never find out.
Yeah.
They don't want you to know. Say, why is my mom like this? Why is my dad like that? There's probably some things they're carrying.
Yeah.
Burdens in their life. Man, there's fears. There's things that they're afraid of. They're afraid of failures like you.
Right.
They may not show it. They're afraid, man, that they might not be able to provide for you. They're afraid that they might lose their job. They're afraid that they might lose their home. They're afraid that, man, you know what, things may not work out the way they wanted it to.
Right.
And they're carrying these things and doing the best they can as a dad and a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, the thing he had to understand about his daddy there, he needed to understand that his daddy had flaws. His dad's not perfect. He was lame. Young people, realize this. Your mom and dad got flaws. Cut them some slack. Amen. Give your mom and dad the benefit of the doubt. They're flesh.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. You get mad and angry at them. But then you know what? You get mad and angry. My mom and dad's like this and that. Hey, man, how come your mom and dad can't get mad and angry? But you can. Yeah, amen.
Amen.
You get mad at your mom and dad for things. Hey, how come when you can have the flaws and you say, oh, I'm not perfect. Well, how come then they have to be for you?
That's right.
What you do is you cut them some slack.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You understand. They're not perfect. They got flaws. There's things wrong in their life. They're going to be there. Amen. But a lot of times, young people, man, you get away with a lot of stuff and you're getting things. And, well, my mom did and then this. Hey, man. They're going to mess it. They're not going to call it right every time.
Yeah, right.
But they're going to do the best they can.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
Some of you want your mom and dad to hit 100%. No mom and dad hits 100%.
Right.
They're going to mess up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to tell you no, and they should have said yes. They probably would have been better off if they said yes. But they're going to say no. They're going to try to err on the side of righteousness.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
Exactly right.
They're going to make a bad call about something.
Yeah. That's right.
They might even give you some bad advice sometime. Mm-hmm. But hey, cut them some slack.
Right. Good.
Amen. Some of you won't do that. You hold your mom and dad to a good high standard. And I'm saying, yeah, I think you should. But hey, there's just sometimes they're going to mess up, man.
Right. Yeah.
Be forgiving about that. Mm-hmm. What else did he have to understand? He also had to understand this here. He couldn't do things with his dad like other kids could do. Some of you tonight, there's some things you can't do with your dad, mom, the other kids can do. In this case, there's a lot of things he couldn't do with his dad. His dad was lame. There was no playing football. There's a lot of things he couldn't do with his dad. Why? His dad was lame. Physically handicapped. The same way your life, there's some things in your life that your dad and mom won't be able to do with you that other kids can do with their parents. And you know what? If you're not careful, it's going to eat you up.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, so-and-so, their mom and dad get to do this. Yeah. But that's them and them. That's not us. My dad would tell me stuff like that. I always said, Dad, how come so-and-so get to do that? He said, that's all right. Let them be. Let them do what they want. How come I don't get to do that? He said, because you're my son. That was the only reason. There was no logic. There was no book, chapter, and verse. It was just because you're my son. We don't do that here. Anytime I tried to use another family for justification, tried to say, hey, that family, they get to do this, Dad, Mom. So Dad would say, no, that don't mean we have to.
That's right.
In my home, we're doing it. This is the way we do it. It's different.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
There's some things that your parents won't be able to do with you that other kids do.
Yep.
Like I said, if you're not careful, it eats you up. Preacher's kids, especially. You're held a higher standard, whether you like it or not. I fought with that a lot growing up. I couldn't stand it. I didn't like the fact that parents of the church would come to me and say, hey, but you're the preacher's son. Oh, that guy burned me. Why? Because that was their way of saying, hey, man, you know what? You're doing wrong. You're the preacher's son. You're not supposed to do that. And their sons and their daughters, I went to school with them at public school. And I'm thinking, man, your sons and daughters at school, if you'd seen them. But you're the preacher's son, you shouldn't be doing that. And I'm like, you're not even my damn mom. Why are you telling me that?
Yeah.
But you know what? They held us to a higher standard.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of you preacher's kids here, I always feel for preacher's kids. My heart is a special place and I think about them, pray for them. And the reason why is because in a lot of ways, unfairly, they're judged by the people of church. They always say preachers' kids are the worst. Reason why is because they hang around church members' kids. Especially the deacons' kids, amen. Associate pastors' kids, amen. I mean, we hang around them. That's why we are where we are. You're gonna realize, yeah. You preacher's kids, you realize this. You are going to be able to do a lot of things everybody else does. Why? Because you live in a preacher's home. I remember one time in particular, man, my dad was getting a church there going to a place called Nosh Chitty. And I was in high school then, and probably like freshman, sophomore. And, you know, I got in trouble there at school and, you know, and got caught and found out. And word beat me home. And so I got home, my dad's waiting and, you know, and I sat down and I put up a newspaper, acting like I was reading a newspaper, and my dad just sitting there. Finally, my dad says, hey, look at me. So I put the newspaper down, looked at him. He said, I found out what you did today. So, yeah, what? Who told you? It doesn't matter how I found out. But I want you to know, and I mean, for the next 30 minutes, he laid into me.
Yeah.
By halfway through that thing, I wish he'd have whooped me.
Yeah.
Because they've gotten to stuff like this. He said, everything I'm trying to do in this church, you are undermining it. Whatever I'm building up, you are tearing down single-handedly. God's going to hold you accountable, son. There's things that I wanted. Man, there's things that God's going to judge you for, not me. Because I raised you better than that. You've given these people a reason, man, to turn against God. Man, I tell you what, he laid into me. I'm just sitting there like, after a while, tears coming down my face, and I'm thinking, oh, man. It's like one of those times where it would have been better just to get a whooping. Instead of just getting tore into. And man, you're just under. And that part always stuck with me. You're undermining everything I'm trying to do here. There's some things you won't be able to do others can't do.
Amen.
Another thing he had to understand is this here. His dad couldn't give him everything he wanted. His dad was lame. He was a beggar. There's no social program in these days. So guess what? His dad couldn't give him what he wanted. Some of you here, you have mom and dad. They can't give you everything you want. Amen?
Yeah.
I want name brand. I want this. I want this new device. I want this new electronic. I want the cell phone. I want this. Mom and dad can't give you everything.
Amen.
They're doing the best they can. You know, as a parent, I know this. I'll do without so my kids can have. The very fact you're getting something tells me your mom and dad's probably doing without so you can have it. Oh, my dad and mom, they don't want nothing for their birthday. Did you ever stop and think maybe what they wanted for their birthday, they gave it up so you could have a great birthday?
Yeah.
You could have a great Christmas?
Yeah.
Did you ever stop and think about that, young man, young lady?
Amen.
The reason why your mom and dad don't give gifts to each other on their birthdays is because they're doing what without so you could have one.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of you big brats, you cry and whine for that stuff.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't want this. No, and you throw a little fit.
Yeah.
And mom and dad, and you know, and sad to say, sometimes mom and dad, they break down, they go and get it for you anyway, even though they can't afford it.
Mm.
You know why? Because they love you.
Yeah.
Then what do you do? Then what do you do in return as a child? Amen. You get mad at them. You throw a fit at them. They tell you to do your chores. You get all bent out of shape.
Amen.
You have no idea what they've gone through for you.
Amen. Yeah.
Micah, to understand, my dad can't give me everything I want. My dad's probably doing the best he can. Some of you come from single parents home. Your dad and mom doing the best they can for you.
Yeah, amen.
The fact they bring you to church. Maybe they can't come to church with you because they got to work two jobs so that you can be taken care of.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, my dad doesn't cook real well. Maybe that's all he knows how to cook, man.
Right. Amen.
Amen. All we eat at the house is macaroni and cheese, ramen noodles. Well, maybe that's the best they can do for you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of you brats here, you just whine about everything. Amen. Another thing Micah had to understand about his daddy here is this here. Something in his past hurt him. The Bible says that he was crippled by a fall. You know, there's some things that's not your mom and dad's fault. Somebody else did it. They've had to grow up with that. Something or somebody in their past hurt them. Maybe that's the way they are tonight. My mom's like this. My dad's like that. Did you ever stop and think maybe their mom and dad weren't the best either?
Yeah, amen.
Something their past still hurts them, plagues them. They're still trying to get victory over it. They're still carrying it around. There's still stuff that triggers them, reminds them, and they're battling with it. But all you can do is complain about, well, my mom don't do this. My dad's like this.
Amen.
Amen. The nurse dropped him when he was small. Maybe there was things that your mom and dad had happen to them that they had it with no control in their life. Divorce affects people whether you want to admit it or not. You say, I'm hard toward it. Well, that's your problem. You're hard toward it.
Mm-hmm.
You're hard towards everybody else and you don't know it.
Right.
Well, that didn't affect me. Yeah, it did. It hardened you to the point where you can't be soft toward anybody. Even toward the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
There's some people, they say it affects children. Ruins children. A lot of them they get. And I'm not giving an excuse. I'm just saying it has an effect.
Right.
Whether people want to admit that or not. Maybe some of your parents grew up that way. They're having a hard time with that. Like I say, you cut them some slack, man.
Amen.
You blame your dad, your mom. Some of you angry at your mom and dad. Just say, you got your own kids now. You're married too, but you're still mad at them. I wish my mom never did that. I wish my dad never did. I think it's probably time that you probably let that go. Like I said there, that first relationship you had, the one with mom and dad, if it gets distorted, usually the rest of yours ends up getting distorted. Friendships, courtships, spouse, relationship, those get distorted too. And even your relationship with God. Because however you treat who you can see, probably you're going to treat whoever you can't see different. Don't say you don't. It's just human nature. Amen. What should you do for them? Number one, let me say this. What should you do for your parents? You should pray for them. Pray for your dad and mom. Man, I mean, you say, pray for your missionary, pray for your preacher. I understand all that. Every one of you young people, you come out from camp, one of the best thing you can do somewhere in your prayer list, put down your mom and dad's name.
Yeah.
Just pray for them. Pray God bless them. Pray God will help them, encourage them, keep them strong. Give your dad wisdom to make decisions for the home. Give your mom some grace and help. Amen. Lord, help my parents. If they're married, amen, Lord, keep them in love with each other. Don't let anything get between them.
Amen.
Amen. Help our family. Pray for your family. I know we put a lot of emphasis on the church and the preachers and the missionaries, and I understand all that. It's right. But man, there ain't nothing wrong with you young people just starting to pray for your family. Man, just as much as you pray for a missionary, as much as you pray for your preacher and his family and church people, lost people say, hey, just as much fervency, put that into your prayers for your family. For your home, for your children, maybe not children, but excuse me, for your parents, brothers and sisters. Amen. Put them on your prayer list.
Amen.
You live with them every day, so you should know exactly how to pray for them.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Number two, knowing you should pray for them, but also this, you should appreciate them.
Amen.
Take time out to thank them. Enjoy them while you have them.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I love my dad and mom. We got to spend pretty much the month of June with them, staying with them, going to meeting with them. And I enjoyed all that time with them. Amen. I love, like I said, my dad and my mom and men. And I always let them know. And everywhere I go when I preach this message, I let the world know. My dad's the best man I know. And the best mom, man, I may tell you what, my mom.
Amen.
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 And I let them know when I see them. I thank you. I call them in on all special days. Let them know. I just want to appreciate them. That's what you need to do. Well, you don't understand. No. You don't understand. See, thanksgiving is not so much for because somebody did right for you. Thanksgiving is for you. A lot of it's for you to keep bitterness out of your heart.
Amen.
To keep you from nursing a grudge. Go out of your way. Pick up the phone, man. Call them. Say, hey, Mom, Dad, I want to let you know I love you and I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Give them thanks. Man, they do something for you. Man, you do something for them. If there's more than one of you in your family, two or three brothers and sisters, man, I mean, put some money together, do something for their anniversary. Amen. Let them know you love them. Man, that went over like lead balloon, didn't it, right there? Why? You're showing them appreciation.
Amen.
Amen.
Do something specifically for them.
Amen.
Number three. Remember this here. There's some things that are not your fault, young people. Don't bear the blame for it, because it's not your fault. There's some things in the home that are happening, going on home. It ain't you. Has nothing to do with you. It affects you, yes, but it has nothing to do. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
Don't carry that load.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and Dad's doing this because of me. Nope. Not you. Any parent in their right mind won't blame you. Amen. I say in their right mind.
Right.
they do lose their head every now and then and say things they shouldn't.
Yeah.
But then when they come to their senses, they'll come back and say, I wonder why we're doing that. There's some things ain't your fault. Some of that strife and some of that things going on to your mom and dad, it ain't your fault. Amen. Don't carry it. Your mom and dad might not be together. It's not your fault. It's between them, not you.
Right.
Let me say this here. Whatever is your fault, number four, you fix it.
Yeah.
What you know you have done. Amen. One of the best things you can do with mom and dad is come clean with mom and dad. You went to camp this week. Best thing you could do tonight or tomorrow night is to come clean with mom and dad now. That's the evidence. I got my heart right with God this week. All right, then now go home and then whoop it out and just come clean.
Yeah.
Mom, dad, remember the situation? I want to tell you the whole truth about it now.
Right.
I want to let you know everything going on about this. Let him know, man. Amen. Some of you tonight, you're too chicken because you say, well, this is going to happen. You say you want to get right with God. Part of getting right with God is restitution. Part of getting right with God is making confession. And I'm not asking you to do it to me, to your preacher. Do it to them, your mom and dad. Go tell them. I really honestly don't know of anything in my personal life that, I mean, just other than a few handful of things that my mom and dad, when I was growing up, that they don't know about. Because there was times that later on in life, I said, remember that time, mom and dad? They go, yeah, I remember that. I said, this is what happened that time. Their mom goes, really? I said, yeah. Hey, man, I'm old enough now not to get whooped by you, so I can tell you now. But no, I mean, really, I want them to know. I didn't want them to think that, you know, oh man, that, no, I wanted them to know. There were some things when I come home from a cousin's house that I let them know, Dad, Mom, they're doing this over there. And I knew it wasn't right, and I was there. And I wanted to stay there, but I knew it was wrong. There's something you need to come clean on like that. Man, if you got something in your heart, young people, man, tell your dad and mom. Don't tell social media. Please, we're tired of hearing your rant and your raving. The world does not need to know about that. That's a family thing. Tell mom and dad. Amen. Isn't it strange how they get on there? I'm in a dark place right now. Well, you're apparently not. You had time to write that. Amen.
Yeah.
So I can't tell my mom and dad, but you could tell the world. Something ain't right there. You want an attention.
Yeah.
Talk to mom and dad.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you need to have faith for your mom and dad.
Yeah.
What do you mean have faith for them? You are their only connection to God.
Yeah.
Amen. You are your mom and dad's only connection to God. The reason why God blesses your family is because of you. Because you try to go to church and you try to serve the Lord. And mom and God blessing your family because of you.
Good.
So maintain that walk with God because your family is getting help because of you. Have faith for dad. Have faith for mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pray. That's why I said pray for them. It helps them. Another thought here. Forgive them. It's about time there's some of you that just let go of things with dad and mom. You can only blame for so long. But somewhere, let go, give it to God. The word forgive, I've given this definition before, it comes from Old English, literally meaning to give away. When you forgive, you're just giving it away.
Yeah.
You're giving away a grudge. You're giving away a hurt. You're giving away anger. You're giving away malice. You're giving away envy. You're just saying, okay, I'm giving this away.
Yeah.
You don't know what my... I understand that.
Yeah, right, bro.
But do you realize it's just ruining you?
Yeah.
And sometimes, man, let him know. I appreciate my pastor, Bro Scott. He tells a story about him and his daddy. How he forgave his dad for not being there after all them years. And now he can go minister to his dad in his old age and be there for him. He said, I can go there, Brother Terrence, with clear conscience and help my dad.
Amen.
Why? Forgave. Follow them. Follow your mom and daddy. Follow them to church. Follow them to serving the Lord. Follow their examples that they're trying to lay down for you. Follow them. You can, let me say this last of all. Fall in love with them.
Amen.
Fall in love with your dad and mom. Amen. I mean, let your mom and dad know you love them, man. It's one of the best places to learn love is at home.
Right.
Fathers loving their daughters and mothers loving their sons.
Yeah.
Show them what it's like. Amen. Let them learn that properly. So when they go on to other relationships, they'll know how to have a good relationship with other people.
Right.
Say, oh, preacher, ours wasn't ideal. I got in this thing late. Well, it ain't too late to start now.
That's right.
It ain't too late to start. That's the thing with God, man. I mean, you don't have to come with a perfect situation to God. God specializes in the broken.
Amen.
God specializes in things that ain't perfect. Amen. He specializes in that. We all think that, well, preacher, you came from that ideal situation. Yeah, well, now I'm coming to minority. The majority is there's no ideal situations in the home no more.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you're excluded.
Yeah.
God still can do something with your family tonight.
Yes,
amen. You can let Him. Amen. Fall in love with them laying parents of yours tonight. Let God help you. Mom and dad, man, love on them kids. Let them know you love them. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight and pray. Maybe you want to come and pray. Maybe pray for them, pray for your kids, or pray with them. That would be really good tonight. You got something going on in your heart and life, man? Amen. Well, let's give it to God tonight.